the Football Sack Podcast, powered by Summerland Credit Union. Banking on football. Go to bankingonfootball.com for details.
It's the Football Sack Podcast with me, Jack Quigley. Pat Flaherty's with me again.
How you going, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, a bit cranky.
A bit cranky. What's up?
I told you earlier. I went to get my car registered.
That's right.
And they failed me. I need three new tyres.
Why tomorrow? Yeah. that is because you took it in with only one tyre on it, though.
Yeah.
The sparks when you drove in from the wheels would have given you
away. I thought you would have passed me. There's a little tread there.
How much did you say that was going to set you back?
Oh, I'm guessing it'll be $600 or $700.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's a lovely way to start the year.
No, it's not.
Did you get a haircut?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm looking very trim.
Aerodynamic, actually.
I didn't get a haircut for a good 3 months, so now I'm...
You're back in.
No, I'm short.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you're always short, but now your hair matches. Let's talk a little bit about the A-League, because that's mainly what people have tuned in to listen to.
You'd think so.
Not so much your car. I care about that, but we've already spoken about that.
Do you reckon anyone's accidentally downloaded our podcast, thinking it was something else?
Yeah, I'm sure there would have been some, yeah. But I'm happy to give people a little bit of random stuff. Like when we talked about the running podcast.
Yeah.
You know, people must tune in for more than just running for that.
You'd think so.
You'd hope so. let's talk about, first up, a huge round of matches.
Huge round. Weekend. A lot of goals.
Yeah, and also an even bigger round coming up this weekend. We'll start with the big game on Friday night, Central Coast Mariners against Adelaide. Worrying signs for Adelaide coming off a 2-0 loss, and not just the defeat, but also the manner in which they surrendered at Amy Park to Melbourne Heart.
Unable to score against a notorious leaky defence, and really never looked like putting the Heart goal under threat.
That was the most worrying thing,
yeah,
I think.
There was a lot of sideways and backwards passing.
Yeah, that's right. They you've got a team here, Melbourne Heart, who have struggled to keep a clean sheet. They've struggled to hang on late in games. They've struggled once they've taken the lead to know how to repel opposition attacks, and it seemed like Adelaide just... Well, we spoke last week about their creativity,
yep.
And that just goes on the list of things that we've been totally wrong about.
Yeah,
they look totally devoid of ideas. Everything went sideways.
Probably this week they'll come out and score 1,000 goals.
That's right. Yeah. We've put the mockers on them totally now, so get on them to win by 3 or more against the Mariners.
Yeah.
Very worrying signs, I thought.
If Central Coast win this week and Melbourne Victory don't, Central Coast goes 6 points clear at the top of the table. Is that the Premier's plate gone, you reckon?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I actually think Melbourne Victory will still win the Premier's plate.
You reckon?
Yeah, I do. I
reckon they're starting to run hot?
I was at the start of the season, their defending was comical.
Yep.
Their style of play was really poor, but that's because it was still... Andrew was almost letting them make their own mistakes and learning that way rather than just telling them a way of doing things. I think they're coming home with a wet sail now. They've got a good side. They've been able to hang on to Rojas during the transfer window. It looks like they will anyway.
Yep.
Flores is starting to show that he's going to come into form, which he's sort of stuttered with for the first half of the season. They're my Smokies. I reckon they'll finish top come the end of the regular season.
Do you reckon Rojas will be still there at the end of this month?
Yeah, I think he will.
You reckon?
Yeah, there's been apparently interest from Juventus and Liverpool. I'd be surprised to see him go, but
if the price is right, I guess.
Sure if the price is right, as the Central Coast Mariners shown, or if a price is given, they will sell.
Do you think without him, they're still a good force, like a solid force?
Solid is the word, but not spectacular.
Yeah.
And you need to be spectacular to finish top. And they are spectacular at the moment. And they've shown that they're not just all about flair, because they went to Perth on the weekend and won. Now, before...
and won.
They did.
Yeah. Well, he said it.
Do you have an issue with the way I rounded off that sentence?
He just really emphasised the one.
Well, that's because it needed to be emphasised.
Yeah.
Because apparently they never win out west.
Okay, just keep going with that your zone.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
I wasn't going to interrupt you walk there. Out. No. Okay. Sorry, listeners, for Pat's manners. Awful. They never win out west, was what everyone said. They got the win. One of the reporters asked Ange after the game, how big a deal is it to win in Perth? And Ange said, oh, yeah, for the club, yeah, but not for me. I've done all right here. So bit of a swat away with that one. They won the game, but Perth scored the only goal of the game.
Yeah, Scott Jameson.
J-Mo.
J-Mo. We put the mockers on him.
We did. We have a great record with people coming on our podcast.
Normally they score at least next week or a few weeks after.
And of course, Nick scored the next week.
But he's taken to a new level.
Mm. He's gone the other way.
Yeah, he's scored an own goal.
we had him on 2 weeks ago. The first game he played after being on the pod, he had that disastrous game against Adelaide where he chipped his own keeper and set up the first goal. Now he's gone one further and actually kicked it in the net. But we can say that, you know, we're 3 from 3 for interviewers and scorers.
That's a good record.
Over the last season and a half, which is good. I'll take that.
Yes, and we've got an interview coming up later today.
We do. In a few minutes' time, you'll be hearing like a sound because that's what we put in when we edit. And then magically, Bree Davey from the Melbourne Victory W League side will be talking to us. So that'll be another Victory link for all you Victory nuts out there. What about Sydney? Scoring goals. They take on Melbourne Victory in the Australia Day clash. It's sold out, which is fantastic to see. And they've hit form. They're scoring goals, creating chances. 4 for Del Piero. The first time in his career, astonishingly.
Yeah.
And a goal debut for Joel Griffiths. What's happened?
I think Joel Griffiths has been the catalyst for this change in fortunes for Sydney. Del Piero's got someone there who he can just look up to and say, this guy could help me out.
Yeah, he might actually get on the end of these passes.
Yeah.
Del Piero score. See, I'm with you on this. I think Del Piero's got...
So early in the season, Del Piero would get the ball and there'll be no one to cooey
of
him.
There was nothing for him to do with it.
He'll just fall to the ground trying to get a penalty.
That's right. And sometimes succeeding.
Yeah.
And I think that... this show with Griffith's goal, the first goal, in that there was just nothing on. And then Del Piero plays a ball that only Joel Griffiths in that Sydney FC squad would have been good enough to read and get onto. If that was Euro Yao up front, that ball just bounces tamely to the keeper.
Yep.
And, you know, slow motion Del Piero puts his hands in the air and wonders what he's doing in Sydney. But very, very exciting times for Sydney FC. Del Piero's 4 goals, 1 a penalty that shouldn't have been given. Just quickly on the penalty, for those of you who didn't see it, Jason Kalina breaks into the box chasing a long ball. Andrew Durante heads away the ball, is then tackled by Kalina, and the referee Chris Griffiths-Jones points at the spot. Worst penalty award of the season for you?
I think one of them. There's been a few.
There has been a few, and that's the sad part.
Yeah.
But this is the worst for me. I think the others have been, you know, either soft or contentious and, you know, you know, controversial.
Do you think it was a Kalina factor, but
this one
maybe
was
saying he hurt his knee or something.
He was trying to make him feel better. This for me was just alarming because it wasn't ever a foul. But if anything, it was a foul by the attacker.
Yeah.
It was very, very strange.
Who was the ref?
Chris Griffiths-Jones.
I'm hoping he's got a rest this week.
They can't afford to keep resting refs when they make blunders because they're running out.
Yeah.
And that's where you end up with situations like that linesman for the Sydney FC Adelaide game where he kept giving everyone offside when they were on by 5 metres.
I think what was more alarming than the refereeing was the Wellington defence.
Yeah.
Like, every time, a few goals there where Del Piero scored, all of the defenders were on the near post holding hands within about 3 metres of him and they wouldn't go near him.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you go to Del Piero and try to get the ball off him?
Well, you know that Del Piero is going to whip the ball to the near post.
Yeah.
That's all he ever does at corners.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't think I've seen him take a corner for Sydney yet that hasn't been whipped to the near post. And yet they still seemed at sixes and sevens when the ball came in. Very, very interesting. Let's jump to the other side of Sydney, the Western Sydney Wanderers.
Yeah, 2 teams had a win on the weekend. I feel a bit for John Aloisi a little bit. He's getting a lot of flack, but his team's coming 5th on the table.
Interesting, a little bit of flack, he's putting it lightly. He's copped a lot of stick. I think it's, you say they're 5th in the league, I think that's a little bit of a false statistic.
Yeah.
You know, they're miles away from 4th. I think they're about sort of 7 or 8 or 9 points even away from 4th. They're also only a point or two ahead of 6th, 7th, 8th. I think if results go against them this weekend, they can actually fall down as low as 8th. So if they do find themselves in 8th at the end of this weekend, then that criticism is certainly justified against Mr. Aloisi, who has a lot of work to do. But promising signs on the weekend.
But on
for
their
them.
Day, they're a great team.
Well, that's the thing. They've shown. They've beaten Victory this season.
Minutes
they've beaten
when they're
Brisbane
playing
Raw.
Their best, they can beat anyone.
Yeah, which is very interesting. Apparently, Fred may have picked up a hamstring injury.
They're saying Babalj might be back.
This is very interesting news. Eli Babalj, of course, went over to Europe. He's not quite settled and he's looking for a bit more game time. Could come back.
Grella might be back this weekend, maybe.
Grella is apparently playing.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
That's good news.
The invisible man makes his first appearance, which that would be great. I think that he might add a little bit of steals there to their midfield. Yeah. If they can get a strong partnership of Babalj and Tadic might be interesting ahead of a midfield enforcer.
See if they can fit them both in the team.
Yeah.
Might be a bit tough.
Yeah. Well, of course.
They kind of play the same kind of game.
It's similar, yeah. That's right. Very good point. So more food for thought for John Aloisi, but for a change, he's got a good selection headache. He's not trying to fit into the team players who probably don't deserve to be in the A-League.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, I won't name names because that gets us turned down for interviews, as we found out. What about the Wanderers then? The fairy tale rolls on. How far can these guys go? We've said it on the... I asked you on the podcast before whether you thought they were title contenders. You said yes. Where are they going to finish up? Well, what are they aiming for when they finish up?
Hopefully, at the start of the year, their aim was to make the finals, and I think they could make it if they keep their form up.
I would have been amazed if that was even their aim at the start of the season. Their aim was to get 11 on the park for game one.
And I've done that very well.
Yeah.
But in the next few couple of weeks, and they've got a tough run home, I think.
Yeah, they do. They've got LA next week.
Yeah. And they host the Jets, I think.
Yeah.
But then they face a trip to Melbourne to play the Victory. Followed by Perth Glory.
Yeah, so it's all over the place. Well, that's the thing, and it's interesting because that fixture list, you could see them winning all four, but then it wouldn't be amazing if they lost all four.
Yeah.
Incredible season that's shaping up for Western Sydney Wanderers. Popovich has done a fantastic job.
The good thing
job.
About Western Sydney is they haven't had injuries to major players.
Yeah.
They've kept a lot of their good players on the park.
Yeah.
Like Moy, he's a class above.
Yeah, he is. He's a fantastic
player. You just see
the
touches on him. Like When he's in trouble, he just does something special.
That's what good players do. They find a way of not giving it away when they're under pressure. You know, giving the ball away is the last resort.
Yeah, like a less quality player would get the ball under pressure, you'd lose it.
That's right. Just look to clear it
so
they wouldn't be caught in possession. But these guys will try and find a teammate and keep it. Ono is another one who's only got better as the season's gone on.
Apparently he's lost about 10 kilos.
I did see that,
Since he's come
to the league, that was partly because he probably had got overweight not playing and partly because he's probably lost 10 kilos in the last week, I'd imagine, training Western Sydney at 49 degree heat. I think it's impossible not to lose weight. We spoke about Perth Glory just there, rounding off that sort of next month for the Wanderers. Where are they going? They're under real pressure now. They host Brisbane Roar on the weekend. They're coming off the back of a home loss to Melbourne Victory. They face a Brisbane side who are coming off a loss to Western Sydney Wanderers in Brisbane. Who'd have predicted this at the start of the season, eh? Last year's two grand finalists fighting it out at the wrong end of the ladder.
Yeah.
Where's it all gone wrong for them? We'll start with the Raw. What's gone wrong for the Raw?
Rado.
Yeah.
Mainly Rado. We spoke to Christian last week about how...
Yeah, in most cases... The assistant coach... can't step up.
Yeah, and this is another case.
It's a shame because...
You see it in every league.
Yeah. Well, see, I think that assistants can go to other clubs.
Yeah.
I don't think they can step up into their own club. I think you've got the model at Barcelona where they've just appointed their assistant coach, Tito Villanova, and he's going really well. But I think that's a bit different. Barcelona have a culture where everyone from the under-7s through the first team plays the same way, coaches the same way, and there's a respect in there.
Yep.
As Christian said, in our culture, it's not quite the same. You don't get the respect as the assistant coach that you do as the coach.
Yep.
So when you're the player's mate, it's very hard for them to then take you seriously when you step up to
the
top. Case
in point, Graham Arnold, when he became Socceroos coach.
Exactly, that's right. And Arnie's gone on to show that he's a fantastic manager, one of the best managers in the country. Some will say the best manager in the country. But yeah, exactly right. He just, because he was the confidant for the players, you can't then assert your authority. So Christian told us he's worked with Mike Mulvey. He's a great man to have there for the Raw to rebuild, but how much work has he got ahead of him?
He needs a whole off-season.
Well, that's right. How much time will he be given?
Show what he can do.
He stepped into the Gold Coast United hot seat when they were halfway through the season in which they were wound up, so he didn't get any time to work anything there. The problem with me with the Raw squad, it looks broken. Heads are dropping. I didn't see the game on against Western Sydney Wanderers on the weekend, but I was told that when Western Sydney equalised, there was only going to be one team that won it from that point on. That's the sign of a club in crisis.
You can see they're low on confidence and they're creating chances, but they're just not finishing. They're not just pulling the trigger.
That's right.
And taking a chance.
The Roar of 2 years ago, it was a matter of time until they scored.
Yeah.
Now you're sort of thinking, are they going to score?
I think they're still trying to play that Raw Salona kind of football and they just can't do it anymore. I think
Matt McKay was half built on confidence from winning, and they're not winning
at the
moment.
I think the loss of Matt McKay really has really shown this season.
One thing they have picked up, Eric Partolu has left.
Yep.
He's gone to China. I met Eric Partolu at the airport in Newcastle last week.
He's a bit of a girl's favourite, actually. Old Partolu.
Yeah, I can see he's very strong in the shoulders. I was talking to him and had to stand behind him as we went through the metal detector thing.
Yeah.
And I think he broke the world record for setting it off the most times. I think he found out in the end it was his shoes that were setting us off. And
you know why he was going off? You know, like the metal detectors.
Why is that?
Because he's a chick magnet.
See, I would have gone with buns of steel.
Chick magnet, though.
Yeah. But yeah, the rest of the raw players were getting annoyed because he was holding all of them up because he couldn't get through. But anyway, he's gone to China and they've picked up a youngster to come in his place, Steve Lusticha, who was Gold Coast United's youth captain when they won the National Youth League last couple of seasons.
From a Hajduk
split. He has Hajduk split. Hajduk split, that's right. Hajduk split. A lot of Australian links to Hajduk split.
I think it's because half the Australian football population is Croatian.
That's right. So, obviously held in high regard from his time at Gold Coast.
Yep.
Has played a bit for Hajduk. Played when Hajduk beat Inter Milan 2-0 Internazionale, for those Nazis out there who are going to pull me up for calling it Inter Milan when that's not its official name. 2-0 in the, whatever they call the UEFA Cup now, the Europa League,
yeah.
I think it was. So, yeah, he's got big game pedigree.
Sounds like he could be a bit of a talent.
I think, well, he's definitely a talent, and I think it's a good move for him to come home to a good league and play in a good passing side. I think it could be a very smart pickup from Mike Mulvey.
Seems like at the end of the season, there's going to be a lot of great players playing.
Yeah, that's right. The league, we've sort of picked up a couple of good players to go on top of our marquees that we had in the year.
So it should be an exciting ending to the season, really.
Should be. Last game of the weekend that we should look ahead to, Wellington Phoenix against the Newcastle Jets. The Phoenix, you touched on it before with some of their defending, they are in dire straits. The chairman's come out a couple of weeks ago, said that he demands that Ricky Herbert's men play a more attractive, entertaining brand of football. We mocked him, say it's not possible with the wind in Wellington. I tell you what, if you want entertainment, there was a little bit of entertainment on show last weekend. So if they keep playing that way, he'll see plenty of goals at the Cakes Inn.
Yeah, not quite the entertainment he was looking for, no doubt.
No, I don't think so. I think that's Wellington cooked for this season.
Cooked in the cake tin.
Burnt in the cake tin. And that would explain why they're your smokies. That smoke you saw wasn't that actually them burning.
Wasn't that a great call?
Yeah, that'll go down in history. Your smoky for the title looks as though they've got the spoon wrapped up. The good thing about a wooden spoon is it's great for mixing batter. It'll fit in well at the cake tin.
Yes.
Ricky Herbert has stated that he has no intention of going anywhere. He wants to continue as the All Whites
on his terms.
And yeah, that's right. The All Whites and the Phoenix
taking out of his hands. If he...
That's right. I think that a couple more results like last weekend, it won't be his call.
Yeah. That's surely they can't be as bad as last week.
You'd hope not. You'd hope not.
They made Sydney look well-oiled team.
And Sydney did look good. That front three of Kalina and Griffiths and Del Piero
was an indication of how good they actually are.
No. But also, it was a bit harsh on Wellington.
Yeah,
Wellington,
yeah.
They seem to hit that same side of the net about 15 times. Hasegens in the first half, he thought he had a hat-trick if he just aimed like a foot to the right. But, you know, you just can't afford to defend that poorly and expect to get anything out of games.
I think they need
Sydney FC-esque defending.
I think they need to hope that cyclone at the top of Australia somehow comes and aids Wellington.
Wind.
That's the only way they can win.
Or just by the ball being blown away.
Cut that out. That's what
I did then. The Newcastle Jets, who travelled there, they started the season very brightly, fell away quite badly. Now they're starting to show some signs that they could be on the way back.
Yeah, three clean sheets in a row now?
Yeah.
All with different back fours.
That's right, because they finally kept a clean sheet. And then Gary Van Engman changed the back four.
Rotation.
That's right.
The rotation policy.
Yeah, that's right. And then they kept another clean sheet. Then John Inverarity said, well, you've got to change that again now. And then they changed it the third time. Three clean sheets and a good clean sheet to keep away at the Central Coast Mariners. Probably could have even got more from that game.
Yeah, the Jets wasted a couple of good chances, but those conditions were horrendous. So you can't really blame them.
Yeah, it was greasy, but, you know, footballers should be able to play in those sort of things. And
I reckon it looked really bad. Like, if you wanted to have some of that tomato sauce, you wouldn't be able to hold it. You wouldn't be able to hold the bottle.
Why? Because it would be wet and slippery.
It would be that slippery.
Yeah. Did you see they were handing out tomato sauce clapping things?
No, I didn't.
You know those things they give away at sporting events that you fill up with air and they make that annoying sound? Yeah, they there were tomato sauce ones of those.
Apparently, the Fountain have renewed their sponsorship. They have,
yeah. So that's great news. Master Foods, actually.
Oh, Master Foods, where is it? My mistake, cut that.
I don't care. It's not our sponsor. It's going in. But
that's good news because I like those big bottles.
Yeah.
They're a focal point.
Yeah, and I love the fact that at some point in time, someone said, all right, what can we do to promote tomato sauce? And someone's gone, let's make the biggest sauce bottle possible. And everyone went, yep. And then they've embraced it.
I really hope one day, like a sex toy company sponsors of Coast Mariners. Yes. I just want to see.
Yeah. I just want to see.
Please make it happen. I just want to see a giant dildo blow up.
Oh, that would just be the best thing ever.
I know.
There is a team, I can't think of which country they played. I'm going to say the Netherlands. I'm not entirely sure. But they were... Oh, no, it's in Cyprus. That's it. And they were so broke that they've got their shirt sponsorship from a brothel. And so, yeah, it's Central Coast Mariners. And we know they're strapped for cash. That's why they sell anyone who happens to be half good at football. So you've got to be worried about Trent Sainsbury.
Mate, you work in marketing. You should be onto them.
Yeah, that's right.
They might give you a job.
Trent Sainsbury looks amazing at the centre of defence. Future Socceroo, absolute star. He can go as far as he wants to. But yeah, if you want to hold on to guys like him, you need money in the bank.
Yes.
And to get money in the bank, you need to get sponsors. And hey,
mate, there's a lot of money in
Sexpo 2014, Gosford Stadium.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
I reckon you'd get a lot bigger crowds because you'd bring in a whole new.
It's a new demographic. Yes, it's the pornographic demographic,
the nerds.
Yeah. Okay, please, if anyone from the Central Coast Mariners is listening, which I know that you do because I won't mention why. Please make it happen.
Yes.
We're going to take a little break and make a little buzzing sound, and then we're going to talk to Bree Davey from Melbourne Victory Women's, who face Sydney FC in the W League Grand Final this weekend.
We'll start by asking you how you came about hosting the Grand Final, because that would have seemed a long way off when you drew in Newcastle a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned the game against Newcastle wasn't one of their best. It definitely wasn't in the back of their heads. It definitely wasn't something to put us off getting home final, though, or to think that we weren't good enough. All of us know that we're definitely capable of going all the way this year and winning the premiership. So although it wasn't the result we were looking for at Newcastle, we still look forward to the next week and we got the win.
Hey, Breeze, Pat, got through to the grand final in penalties. You were the hero saving two of them. What was the feeling like in the dressing room and you personally after the game?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, to win obviously was the main sort of goal for us, and we got it, and just to know that I have put my bit in and I suppose helped by saving those few penalties when I stepped up to the line. It was the best feeling I've ever had. I can't experience anything better, but I was, like, from a point of view, I was really happy with how I went, but I was more just happy that we all pulled through for each other and we all put our bit in to win the game, and now obviously hosting a home final, so yeah, very exciting.
You face Sydney FC in the grand final now. You finished above them in the regular season, but as both of these semi-finals on the weekend showed, that's no indicator of how the games are going to go.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every game's a new game, and Sydney will come out with their A game, and so will we. So it's going to be, a close one. And but I definitely think, we're going to have the home crowd behind us, and we're ready and room to go. I think we'll give them a really good shot at it.
You're off the train now. How will you guys be approaching Grand Final week?
I suppose like every other week, really. It's another game of football, and I don't think we'll, do anything too different. Just train and try and play, and train the best we can. So when it comes to the game day, we step up to the plate and we deliver a good game.
You won't be on the beers on Australia Day?
No way. I think we'll all be on the waters, I think.
Can't you just, agree with the Sydney FC team that it's not an advantage to either team as long as all of you get on the beers on Australia Day?
Yeah, I don't know. Girls, not too many of them are big drinkers, so that's pretty good for us.
All right, Bree, just finish by telling us how anyone in Melbourne can get down and support you guys on Sunday. What time's the game and where is it?
Yeah, 3:30 p.m. Kickoff at Amy Stadium. Obviously, a ticket, so you can buy tickets at the door. Or they're on Ticketek, I believe. So obviously, it'd be great to have everyone down there and support the girls and get behind us.
Fantastic, mate. Well, he's hoping for a big crowd, and best of luck to you. I hope that you get the win. Thank you very much for joining us on the Football Sat Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you very much. See you guys.
All done and dusted for another week of podding, and looking forward to another week of A-League.
Yes, should be an exciting weekend. It is. Hopefully everyone listens to the podcast. Tell all your friends to listen to it.
Yeah, that's listeners. Right. And get down and support the W League Grand Final this Sunday.
And all you Central Coast Mariners fans, get on to your club.
Yeah, write to them. Maybe if they can start, like, it started themselves. Central Coast Mariners.
Do they have an official Twitter, Central Coast Mariners?
Yeah, of course they do, yeah.
Well, I think we should get onto it. We should start it.
Yeah, we should. At Central Coast Mariners, meet at Sexpo.
Yes.
And just get the conversation going.
Yes.
See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Speak to you next week, listener. See ya.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.